Focus on the outside of business.
Outside of business.
With the Focus Group.
You really believe we can succeed?
Yes.
Hey, welcome back to the Focus Group. I'm Tim Bennett here with my good friend and co-host, John Nash, where we always take an entertaining look at the world of business and deliver the savvy side of 9 to 5. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m. East with our Sunday replay at 10.
Don't work that tagline too hard.
What do you mean?
The savvy side of 9 to 5.
The savvy side of 9 to 5.
Tim's working a tagline.
You got to work it, John.
Yeah,
you have to work it.
It's true.
Hey, as promised, and this was kind of bored out from our listener survey, is we're going to do a topic here about small business marketing and small business, the importance of branding and so forth. And joining us is Dan Antonelli, and he's the author of Building a Big Small Business Brand. And Dan has 20 years of experience in small business branding and owns a marketing agency called Graphic Designs. It is also known as the Small Business Advertising Agency. He's helped nearly 1,000 small businesses succeed. And this book, as we mentioned, is great. Mine's already dog-eared. And so we want to welcome Dan to the show and have a great conversation with him. Welcome to the Focus Group.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, Dan, I told Tim before, we're not going to go down this road, but you're a fellow cyclist. Did you get to race this morning?
I did race this morning.
And you're here with us now, so you succeeded. How far up the ladder did you go?
I finished probably midfield in the first race and probably about midfield in the second race. This chest cold is hampering my ability to perform well in these situations.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at Dan told me in a previous note that the winter has broken us. If you're a cyclist on the East Coast, you're broken.
You know what I'm going to ask Dan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Dan, how long are these races?
The first race today was it was about 20 miles, so you know, about 45-50 minutes, and then the second race was about 26 miles.
Dan has already told me I could do it, that I've trained I could do it. I should try doing it.
That's not what I'm going to ask him.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm going to ask him like a marathoner. Do you pee on your bike?
No.
Because we had a segment, a little unfair, we had a segment earlier where we were talking about people that do that in the pool and marathoners and whatever, so I was wondering if the race was long, how you would handle that, because sometimes people have difficulty.
Well, the pros do. Like, if you're watching the Tour de France, you don't see it all the time on TV,
stop, right?
But they somehow do it. I can't. hey, Dan, and for our listeners, the book is Building a Big Small Business Brand. We're talking to Dan Antonelli, who's the author. It is a large format kind of coffee table paperback book. I think of it as a workbook almost. I think it's beautifully designed, and I'm not going to, I have a takeaway myself from the central core tenant, but I'm going to let you tell our listeners what the core is of your philosophy in the book.
Well, you know, one of the things as I was, you know, compiling research and trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to get across in this book, you know, one interesting thing, you know, as a person that's run a design agency that I've come across over the years is, you know, so many small businesses would come to us with a specific task, whether it was maybe to design a website for them or do a brochure for them, and I'd look at their branding and I'd say, we can't do anything until we address this brand issue first, and some of them just really had no idea that their current brand had challenges. No one had ever told them, and I guess everyone was just kind of happy to, you know, do whatever they were being tasked with at the time, instead of really thinking about the underlying question as to, you know, what is it that you're trying to do with this brochure or this website, and maybe instead of that specific, you know, thing that you need to focus on what does your brand communicate about your business first, and then you could market it through those other channels.
You know, Dan, we have a number of listeners out there across the country that have small businesses, and as I said, they requested a segment like this, and kind of one of the big questions everyone has is how is branding a small business different than a larger one? In that sometimes they might not know all the jargon or know what's important. So if somebody was, you know, said to you very simply, you know, where do I start? What kind of advice would you give them?
So, you know, going back to the core question there is, you know, branding as this term is something that people get confused about. I mean, they think it's this big, giant, you know, massive term that they can't really wrap their heads around. So, you know, in the first chapter of the book, we talk about, you know, this wheel analogy, and I like to use that analogy to explain what a brand really is. So at the center of that wheel, you have really the logo, and then going around the wheel, like the spokes of the wheel, you have all the components that integrate that logo. So you have the website, the social media channels, you have brochures, email marketing, uniforms for the guys, vehicles. So all those things collectively comprise the brand. So, you know, so many small businesses really, you know, they're disjointed in the application of the brand. And the other challenge is that they don't communicate a specific brand promise to the people who are viewing it. So, you know, if you were to take, you know, if you would look at their business card and that was all you knew about that company and you had to form an opinion about what you might expect to get if you chose to do business with them, you know, what would that business card communicate to people? And that's really the challenge that so many small businesses have is they don't communicate a positive brand promise.
So since you wrote the book, you naturally gave the perfect core answer to what you were doing. But that was my takeaway as well. Listeners, the book is really beautifully laid out. And the tenet is simply put, you know, put your best foot forward. And if your best foot forward happens to be your business card as your primary method of sharing information about what you do, maybe you own a small shop, maybe you own an antique store, maybe you own a hair salon, maybe you're a sole proprietor that does, you know, spend the time to have even that little piece of information properly reflect and actually entertain the person getting it, or they hold on to the card a little longer than they might. You know, does that sound right?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, again, it one of the things that's kind of an interesting exercise is to walk out your local supermarket and, you know, they have those community message boards where, you know, people pin their business cards up there. And if you look at what most of them look like, you know, 90% of them are terrible. You know, so what if you could design something that stood out among those other ones up there? You know, what would that do for your business if your brand, you know, was the most polished out of the rest of the grouping?
Dan, that is a fantastic analogy, and I want to thank you for just saying that one, because all of us have seen the community bulletin board. Mm-hmm. Like where we have our office space, we have a community bulletin board, and it is a sea of bland.
Yep.
And then there's one card that's out there, and fascinatingly, the card that stuck in my mind recently was for a CPA, and it was the least likely thing to catch my eye, a certified public accountant,
yeah,
right? But the card was so, it had good color, it was bold and graphic, and boom, you looked right at it. So that's a great analogy.
I think the important part, though, that Dan makes is that while you do that, you then better deliver. In other words, if you have the great logo, or you have, you know, I'm thinking of a lawn service. There's a lawn service in my area that has great trucks and everything, but then when the guys show up, they look a little like, yeah, you know, they didn't play the whole thing out.
So going back to that, just to touch on what you just said, that's really the reality is you have so many of these small businesses that deliver an amazing service, but they just don't look like they do. So what if you could design a brand to match the expectation or to match the actual deliverable, I mean? So what if you know, if they knew nothing else, they expected a great service, and then you actually delivered on a great service? That's the beauty of it when it happens.
How do you counsel, though, a small business? Because a lot of times it's you know, it's blood, sweat, and tears. It's mom and pop. It's their money. They've got their all their investment in there. And then you tell them, hey, you know, by the way, the baby's ugly. You know what I mean? How do you actually
leave it to Tim? Tim, you're right. Yeah.
In counseling with some of these people that take it so personally, different than maybe a multinational or something, how do you go about starting working with a small business?
Well, you know, they're coming to us because they're asking us to help them solve a problem. So, you know, I'm going to be honest with them, and I'm going to look at what they have, and if it has challenges, I'm going to identify them. You know, the reality is you have so many small businesses that achieve some measure of success, and that measure of success in their minds justify the rationale as to why that they should continue with their current strategy. So, you know, you have these companies that are doing so well. They deliver an amazing service. Again, they don't look like they do, but you go and you tell them, well, if you had a better brand, you'd be doing even better. And some of them, you know, buy into that philosophy, and the results that we've been able to secure for those clients, you know, they've been incredible. We've got businesses that, you know, double in sales within a year. You know, we had a client out in the Midwest. We rebranded his fleets, and he got 865% more phone calls from his
truck. Wow.
You know, so I know what's on the other side, but I know it's definitely, you know, a hurdle for some small business owners to to envision it. You know, they get very secure. You know, I use the analogy that their current branding is sometimes like a warm blanket to them. You know, they're used to it. They're afraid of change, and you know, they're afraid of what it would. You know, they're just afraid of the unknown.
You know, Dan, I'm a graphic designer and creative director, and amazingly, for the two ad agencies I've owned, and now for our radio show, I am incapable of doing our own logo work, that was a hard lesson to learn, that I'm not just going to sit down and put my own little logo together. And the real benefit of having a second set of eyes or someone external do it is they ask questions you might not ask yourself. They present surprising solutions that you might never have come up with. In the vein of this thinking, though, and Tim said it earlier, and you've also alluded to it as well, you know, so many small businesses are blood, sweat, and tears. They're, you know, money is tight. And what would be the first... You know, I have an answer in my brain, but, you know, let's say someone is contemplating a brand shift or an upgrade or something. I think a logo is a good place to go or to start. And so what are the least amount of resistance to getting something done? They could go to sites and download some pre-made graphics, or do you recommend definitely consulting with a professional like yourself for at least that component of it?
Yeah, I mean... You know, if they don't have the money to afford consulting with a professional, and that's their only avenue, then you know, that's perhaps better than nothing. But certainly when you speak to someone, you know, it's not only about where you want your brand to be today, but it's also about where you want it to be in 5 years, and that's a discussion that drives the creative process. You know, so when we start our brand process with any small business, it's an open dialogue as far as where do you want to go, what is our brand promise that we want to communicate, and you know, what's the key takeaways that we want people to feel, or the emotions we want our brand to connect, you know, to that consumer. So, you know, certainly as a starting point, you know, the logo is obviously where you do want to start, but then, you know, the important considerations are, how do you integrate that new logo across all the other channels? And of course, like you say, there's certainly some financial hurdles with rebranding. You know, okay, now I got to get new uniforms, or now I have to get new stationery, or change the website and change all these other things. You know, that's why we always think it's the best thing to start with a startup, because you can do it right from the beginning. You know, the rebrands are more traumatic later on because there's more financial implications. So sometimes people say, oh, it's so expensive to get branded. And I always say, well, it's a lot more expensive to rebrand.
Yeah, good point. And it is an investment they're making. And I think if you recognize it for that, no different than if you're buying a bunch of computers or equipment for the shop or something. It is an investment that needs to be made.
Well, it's a cost of doing business.
Cost of doing business, yeah.
We're speaking with Dan Antonelli about his new book, Building a Big Small Business Brand. And one of my favorite things about the book and looking through it is you definitely have a particular favorite style of very retro or nostalgic
yeah.
type logos. I particularly love the duck guys. I don't know where they're located, but I thought that was pretty cool. Tell us a little bit about what your philosophy is about why you would kind of go back a little bit to the future with retro or nostalgic imaging.
Well, you know, if you consider, you know, what that, you know, period of time evokes to certain people, you know, and it evokes kind of a, you know, a craftsmanship type of feeling. So when we work with so many service companies, especially like in the heating and air conditioning business, or you know, for the example you just brought up was a duck cleaning business here in New Jersey, Duck Dudes.
love the name, yeah.
Yeah, it's an awesome name, and they're doing phenomenal. And you know, they, I mean, that particular style, I think, resonates with people. And it's also, you know, again, going back to one of the points in the book is, you know, you design brands to stand out, not fit in. So how many other businesses are really thinking about branding their company that way? You know. So if you take that Duck Dudes branding and you put that out in the marketplace and you compare that to all the other duck cleaning businesses, there's no one out there that looks like that.
Right.
You know,
and by the way, the duct is literally like a section of AC duct that's been made into like this cool little robot guy.
Yeah, and I love that one.
It's a really fun branding you did there.
You know, Dan, how did you get into this business? You know, I think it is so smart, and it's such a need for, as a resource for small businesses, and, you know, to have a professional eye look at them and help them establish their business. How did you get into this?
So, you know, when I was younger, I was into sign painting. You know, I used to do lettering on trucks. I think the first truck that I actually, you know, lettered a business name on, I was probably 14 or 15 years old. So I started working in sign companies, but, you know, my parents were like, you know, you're not going to be a sign painter. You got to go to college. So, you know, I went to college. I got a degree in advertising, and I worked in New York City as a graphic designer. But I really missed working with these small businesses. You know, I was in, like, corporate America, and, you know, it was okay. It was a great job, you know, great benefits. But, you know, I just kind of missed being able to, you know, roll up my sleeves and you know, work with these companies. And so when I started the agency, that was like, you know, I only wanted to work with small businesses. You know, and so many small agencies, their dream clients are these large corporate gigs or these pharmaceutical jobs, and I just had no interest in it. I was just like, I want to roll up my sleeves. I want to be very personal with the clients that we're dealing with, and I want to impact their lives in a meaningful way. And I couldn't see myself doing that working on the corporate side of things.
Now, Dan, do you work with people remotely? So you're based in New Jersey.
Yeah.
But let's say we have a listener who's out in Ohio, or someone might be out in Michigan, and they feel that you know, they hear in your voice and what you're saying and what you've done with building a big small business brand, which is your new book, that they would like to work with you. Do you have any thresholds for size or for the amount of depth, or do you prefer an in-person thing, or can you gather information over the phone? So can someone actually work with you from a different part of the country?
Sure, yeah. I would say actually probably more than 50% of our business is actually out of state. So we have clients all over the country. You know, we've done brands for, you know, restaurants in Switzerland and Australia. It's crazy, you know. So we just use Skype to try to do some video conferencing with them when we can. But, you know, we work with clients all over the country. As far as size, you know, the typical range of the clients we're dealing with are probably around $1 million to $20 million in sales is probably what the core of our client base is consisted of.
So kind of in a reverse question, how do you guys go out and market yourselves then? Because that's amazing that you've got such a diverse clientele.
Certainly, you know, our website brings in, you know, a significant amount of work for us. You know, if you Google retro logo design, I think we may be number one or number two. So, you know, that in itself fuels a lot of new business. And I think our clients as well, you know, they really become our biggest cheerleaders. You know, they see what we've done for them, and you know, we're so grateful for them for talking to their friends or other service businesses that, you know, maybe they work with or know of. And it's funny, too, because they become, I want to say, almost brand snobs. You know, they look at all these logos and or these other companies with terrible logos, and they talk to them, and they say, you got to call this other company. So by the time we're finished, they really have a much deeper appreciation for a brand, and you know, they really are our biggest cheerleaders.
So Dan, for a business that may not be in that level of sales, you know, which is not crazy number, by the way, a million's not a crazy number, but maybe it's the sole proprietor. Your advice would be to work with someone, possibly your agency or someone local, perhaps, to create a brand mark or an identity, and then to consistently utilize that throughout the messaging that goes to anybody that touches that business. It could be their Facebook page. It could be their website. Definitely it's their business card. It could be signage. And that's going to start building a small, you know, a big small business, right?
Exactly. You want to make sure that every single touch point is consistent. You know, so if they look at one thing and then they look at another, they know immediately it's coming from the same place. So that's consistent use of colors, typography. Obviously, the mark itself needs to be consistently implemented. And you want to be really, you know, vigilant about making sure that every single instance in which your brand appears is very well coordinated. So you know, finding a designer that can live in all those other realms is really the ideal situation, you know, that they understand when they design a brand that it not only has to work maybe on the top of your business card, but yes, it has to look great for my sign. You know, people driving by at 40 miles an hour, they need to be able to read it. You know, so you have to really consider all the applications as you're designing a brand and make sure that it doesn't just work well on the business card. It also needs to be embroidered on the uniforms. It also needs to be on the side of a truck. You know, so you have to consider all the applications and make sure it's going to live well in all those specific, different touch points.
Have you ever worked with a brand where you had what you thought was kind of the,
you know, read my mind.
The best solution, the best logo, the best idea, and then they're just like, no.
You read my mind. I was going to ask that.
Because I wondered about that. People, a lot of times...
You come up with a great idea.
And even when we work with ad agencies, they'll be like, this is going to be the home run here. You're like, we don't really like that. Have you experienced that?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it happens. It doesn't happen as often, thankfully. But it does happen. You know, the one thing I try to tell clients is I'm not actually designing a logo that I want them to like. I mean, I do want them to like, but I'm not. That's not my goal. My goal is to design a logo that their target audience likes. So I try to ask them to remove themselves and their specific personal likes or dislikes, and try to attack it from that vantage point of the consumer that's purchasing their products. So, you know, if the target demographic is women age 40 to 55 years old, well, put yourself in their shoes and say, what does this brand communicate to them? So it's not so much about what they personally like. It's more about what the audience, you know, is going after. And you know, I think the smartest business owners are the ones that really understand that, and they want to appeal to their audience. And what I tell them after is, you may not like it now, but after you see the results, you'll love it.
Yeah, that was always a difficult one for me when I was doing graphic design work, and then when I transited to the agency was, and for me personally, as I said earlier in the segment, to step away from our own thing and to actually have someone else identify what our brand tenants were and to actually come up with a logo is really hard. So part of your job is actually, there's an educational component as well. So when a client comes to you, there's the, we're going to do this, and you have to do like a little spelunking and figure out what the true core value of that company is, and then you have to educate them to get ready for the critique, you know?
Right. And we try to tackle that at the beginning, you know, so our creative briefing process really drills down and talks about what they do like, and we do go over that, and if I find, you know, some of their taste or some of their, you know, we ask them to pick out brands that we've created that they like and don't like and, you know, things like that. And if I find that the direction at that particular stage runs contrary to what I believe in, we'll have that discussion right at that point. So I don't want to chase down a path until I can at least up front tell them why I think that perhaps what they're asking us to do isn't really the right solution for what they're trying to accomplish.
I think you'd be great to work with. Listeners, we've had the pleasure of speaking with Dan Antonelli. His new book is Building a Big Small Business Brand. It is one of the rare business books that Tim and I get, and believe me, we get a lot of these, that this really is, it's a workbook, it's a coffee table book, it's colorful.
Best one of the year so far.
Best one of the year. I think it's frankly very inspiring that even if your only investment in your new brand or your new direction for your business is to buy his book, you're going to go through it and it's going to just make you think. And I think that's the first step, as Dan was just outlining. Dan, I want to thank you for joining us today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
I want to apologize that you didn't go higher up in the podium standings on your race, but I have no control over
that. He was nervous about the interview.
No, Dan already communicated with me, and I was like, Tim wants me to race someday. And anyway, yeah,
I want you. That might be one of Dan's challenges offline.
Get John to race.
Get you to race.
Yeah.
You do well.
I don't do well with one thing. I have an imagination, Dan, and sometimes I imagine myself flying off the bike at 30 miles an hour. And you know what happens when you fly off a bike at 30 miles an hour? It's like being thrown out of the car in your underwear.
Because
you're wearing nothing. All right. So, hey, Dan, give our listeners your website address.
Sure. It's graphicdesigns.com, graphicdesigns, signs, SIGNS.com.
And the book is Building a Small big small business brands. Sorry, I was looking at the cover. And our guest has been Dan Antonelli. Dan, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to speak with you. It's the Focus Group, John Nash with Tim Bennett. We're going to take a quick break. And when we return, we're going to be talking to Professor Barbara Kahn. So stay with us.
The Focus Group is brought to you by Volkswagen. That's the power of German engineering.